fighting for America.
Washington, D.C. has never been more divided, more dysfunctional, or less productive than it's been in the last 6 years under President Barack Obama.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's currently an open season against Islam, Muslims in Washington, Muslims in the general media, dehumanizing Muslims in movies like American Sniper.
Fighting for you.
He didn't want handouts. He didn't want anyone to feel sorry for him. Ryan Jobe was just grateful and gracious, just an exceptional human being. I think we should all try to emulate Ryan's faith and hard work. He's just a great guy.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. As we were talking about, Eric Holder has an issue with Fox News.
One more time, talking about what do you call it, as opposed to what do you do about it, you know? I mean, really, you know, if Fox didn't talk about this, they'd have nothing else to talk about, it would seem to me. You know, radical Islam, Islamic extremism, you know, I'm not sure an awful lot is gained by saying that. The terminology has, seems to me, little or no impact on what ultimately we have to do.
There you have it. It's about the terminology. It's about Fox News. Have you ever noticed, it seems to me, you know, it's kind of like people at work. It's never their fault when something bad happens. You know, people make mistakes. What's the toughest thing to do when you're late for work? You're late for a meeting. And by the way, isn't late like the new on time? I find myself doing it all the time. I mean, if you can come to a meeting early, do you know how much you stand out in today's world? Just my opinion. But here you have Eric Holder, just like the president. It's never anybody's fault in the administration. It's never their fault that ISIS is killing people and laughing at us. It's, well, it's Fox News' fault for calling them terrorists. How big of a joke is it, a sad, tragic joke, that we have the administration not even calling them radical Islamic terrorists? The administration itself afraid to take a stand. Scary things, scary times in the world that we live in today. That the administration can't even say Christians, right? Think about that for a minute. Think about that in the world that we live in today. Think about the president now needs to go to Congress to battle ISIS. But the president had no problem breaking the law, according to a federal judge. According to a federal judge who blocked the president's executive order on immigration, right? Now they're attacking the judge, calling him an extremist, saying that we're all racist because people that have broken the law cannot get the same rights as people that have not broken the law. Let's get some background here, right? At 580KIDO. Let's delve into this immigration issue and figure out what's next.
The president says his executive actions on immigration are legal and will prevail.
I'm confident that it is well within my authority.
A federal judge in Texas ruled the Obama administration overstepped its authority, agreeing with Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, who filed suit on behalf of his and more than two dozen other states.
He violated the Constitution and violated federal law.
House Republicans passed legislation that will defund the Homeland Security Department unless the president's immigration policies are rolled back. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
580KIDO. So the president, I mean, how embarrassing. And just little old us here in Idaho will be the only ones that bring this out. How embarrassing it is that
I'm a constitutional attorney. I went to Harvard.
I'm a smart guy. I know everything. Is slapped down by a federal judge. Now, our great community organizer, constitutional professor, had this reaction.
This is not the first time where a lower court judge has blocked something or attempted to block something that ultimately was shown to be lawful. And I'm confident that it is well within my authority and the tradition of the executive branch's prosecutorial discretion to execute this policy.
Right. It's never been done before. The president just saying, I don't need Congress, I don't need anybody. Nah, I have a pen and paper, I'm going to do this. I thought you knew the Constitution. Didn't we hire a smart guy? Wasn't Bush a dummy? We hired Mr. Brilliant that had to be smacked. By the way, it's funny, you notice this with the progressives and the libs and the people that watch the 50 Shades of Grey, that when someone shoots down something they disagree with, well, the judge is an idiot, the judge is an extremist. On the other hand, when constitutional amendments to protect marriage get shot down, those judges are hailed as innovators, right?
I disagree with the Texas judge's ruling, and the Justice Department will appeal.
There you have it. Where's Janet Reno when you need it? By the way, here's Representative Ruben Gallego, who yells at the judge.
This judge is known as an extremist judge. He has been consistently overturned in the past. So do not at any point believe that we are not going to have success in terms of overturning it.
Right. What about it being illegal? You heard earlier from Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Now, the Idaho connection is Idaho is one of the states represented in this lawsuit that said, look, if you legalize the illegals, how are we going to pay for it? Oh, by the way, it's an unfunded mandate from the president.
We must do what the federal government has failed to do. We must secure our border.
I'd be in favor of securing our border against Oregon, wouldn't you?
The very last lawsuit that I filed as Attorney General was a lawsuit to stop President Obama's lawless executive action. I'm proud to report that late last night, a federal judge halted the president's executive action plan.
And by the way, the Idaho connection at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, is that we were one of the plaintiffs in that lawsuit. By the way, what's the reaction here? What does it mean for us here in the Gem State at 580-5436? Do you see your schools, your businesses being overrun? Is it bad to say, I'm sorry, you're not here legally, you got to go? Folks at Channel 7 took a look at this. Let's see what they found out.
Today, but supporters of Obama's immigration plan are still hopeful. That includes a local nonprofit that advocates for Idaho immigrants.
Employees at the Idaho Community Action Network have been spending a lot of time on the phone.
Hola, Vicente, ¿cómo le va?
They're fielding questions about a Texas judge's recent ruling temporarily blocking President Obama's executive action on immigration.
It's not a surprise, but it is a disappointment.
Obama's policy would have granted legal status to millions of undocumented immigrants, allowing them to get driver's licenses, work permits, and other government benefits. ICANN organizing director Krista Bustamante says that includes tens of thousands in Idaho.
These are people we're talking about. These are families that are citizen, that we have citizen children that are being ripped apart from their moms and dads. Really, this is a matter of family, making sure that family.
Now, do you know of anybody that's being ripped apart? You know, it really comes down to, I think, the rule of law, right?
Stay together.
Idaho is one of 26 states involved in the lawsuit filed against the president last December. The plaintiffs argue that Obama's immigration actions violated his constitutional responsibility to, quote, take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Governor Otter issued a statement today praising the judge's ruling, saying Idaho and other states now will get our day in court to stop President Obama from granting amnesty to illegal aliens. Congressman Raul Labrador also addressed the ruling, adding the president's actions are illegal because he failed to comply with the basic requirements for notice and comment under the Administrative Procedure Act. I'm pleased Judge Hannon agrees. But Bustamante believes this is just a setback.
Feel confident that the administration has sound legal standing for this to continue.
ICANN is planning a meeting this Thursday to answer the community's questions about the ruling. It will be held at the Nampa Hispanic Cultural Center.
No, it's not really the community that has any questions. It's the people that are breaking the law, right? I mean, it's just you and me hanging out in your car, at home, at work, at 580-5436. And if you believe that people that are here, that have lived here, should have the same rights as you, should get federal benefits as you, I'd love to hear from you. We all want to give people breaks. But, I mean, even in the report, the lady's not even speaking English. So how can you be part of something? Remember when you join, let's say, a group? And what did you have to do to join that group? And we're talking about a social club. It was you had to conform. Maybe it was a sports team. You had to listen to the coach. You had to be a member of the team. So simplifying this, what does it say about people that come here? Not saying they're not hardworking, but they don't want to assimilate. In fact, it amazes me when people say, well, if you speak Spanish or you speak whatever, you got the job because we have a lot of people that don't speak English. To me, my own personal opinion, I find it very insulting. And when you look at Jeff Sessions talking about how many jobs are going to be lost, and then you have the issue of, you know, I applaud Governor Otter for talking about this. I applaud the governor. He did a great thing. You know, you can criticize him all you want, but on the issue of protecting traditional family values, I think that the governor is outstanding. I think he's outstanding on this issue. You know, I go back to this point, though. Now, where's the opposition? I believe that you're the opposition. It's you and me. That's it. And we could rail about the other side. We're the other side. We're the line. And how do we send a message? Hey, thank you, Governor Otter. Thank you for stopping this. Thank you, Lawrence Wasdin, for joining this lawsuit. And it's interesting how casual this woman dismisses federal law because she apparently doesn't know the Constitution. And, you know, you look at this report and, it's just a bump in the road. No, when a federal judge says no to the president of the United States because he's exceeded his authority, by the way, where are our folks in Congress? Sure, they can issue blanket statements and have glowing articles by liberal Juan Williams, but where's our Congress holding this guy accountable? Well, they're afraid. Well, one thing I give pro-life is he calls it like he sees it, and he calls people a bunch of wimps. When you have a president who clearly is doing whatever he wants and our folks in Congress not doing a thing about it. Let's start with Kevin in Boise with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Kev.
Hey, how you doing, Kev?
Good.
All I got to say is, you know, first off, we're all immigrants. You know, we all came here illegally in the first place. Second of all is, how are they going to overrun the schools? Because they're already here. They're already going to our schools. They're not taking any jobs that we want. Most of them are migrant workers working in the fields, which most Americans don't want to do. You know, and I don't understand why this is such a big issue where it's bigger than didn't Bush do the same thing when he sent troops to Iraq?
You lost me.
Where did I lose you?
Well, you're talking points that we've all come here illegally and that Bush sent people to Iraq. Bush got approval from Congress to do that.
No, he sent them over there and then informed Congress after the fact.
No, I remember he made the plea to Congress and you had Hillary Clinton and John Edwards voting for it.
Well, I disagree.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, and your point is, and your point is that we're all illegal aliens.
Well, I mean, we're all immigrants. We all came here on the boats, not us personally, but our ancestors.
Sure, you know? But a lot of people went through Ellis Island and legally.
Right.
Is there a difference?
Not at first.
Well, they didn't have an immigration thing in colonial times, Kev.
Right.
Well,
but here's the thing: is they've been here for years. I think we should go ahead and it wouldn't be hard to recognize the criminal element of the illegals and deport them.
Right, but, right. Well, you know, and then you're going to get profiling. Kev, I got to run, but keep listening. I'm sure people will react to your points, sir.
All right.
All right, thanks, Kev.
Don't... Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The federal government has failed to do. We must secure our border.
Let's get back to your phone calls. If you're just tuning in, legal versus illegal immigration here in Idaho. We just had a gentleman call in that said we're all immigrants, and Bush did the same thing. Mike in Caldwell, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you said, excuse me, you said you hadn't heard of any families being torn apart. I know from firsthand experience a man who was brought here when he was 7 years old by his parents. He's 32 now. They told him he had to go back to Mexico for a week, get a physical, they'll investigate him, and then he can come back with his green card and stuff. His wife and two kids are American citizens. He's been down there since September. They got a letter saying he can't come back. He's never done anything wrong. The only excuse they had is he had two tattoos on his arms. If you think the Mexican people are going to trust this amnesty thing, it's only good for, as far as I understand, it's only good for 3 or 4 years, and then they have to reapply. Well, they're not going to come out of the woodwork to apply for that because of this kind of a thing. I think everybody's pretty naive about all of this immigration deal, as far as people that have been here a while.
Well, what's your take on it, though? I mean, I don't want to overtalk you, sir. So what's your take on these guys getting Social Security numbers and benefits and eventually voting?
That's about their only option, especially when this person I'm talking about, that's the only way he could do it. He did, however, never get a driver's license because he thought that was wrong, though I know of a lot of Mexican people that go to other states and get them. But it's the only way they can operate. I mean, they get stopped. He was stopped several times, and they put him in jail, let him go. A couple of times, the officer just let him go. A lot of this just doesn't make any sense. Some of these people have been here a long, long time. Like this guy I'm talking about, he knew nothing about Mexico. And yet he's down there now.
Right.
It'd be like if they took you and down there. I don't understand how.
Well, I don't know. They couldn't take me because I was born here.
Individual and keep him away from his wife and two little kids.
Well, they could move to Mexico.
Right. Yeah, they sure could.
I mean, they could. They could move there. Mike, I apologize. I got to run quickly to John. Good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller. Hello, John.
Hello, Kevin. I just had a couple of comments. One was about the gas tax, the proposed gas tax, and I heard Tea Party Bob on the air yesterday talking about, you know, how a road was tore up when it really didn't need to be. I don't know anything about that, but here's my thing. You know, I mean, I think there could be some validity to that argument because if they want to increase the gas tax, then I want the legislature or whoever's wanting to do that to show me exactly, you know, why that money's needed. And exactly how it's going to be used. I want to know the processes involved in improving the roads so that I know that they're using money, the taxes they get wisely and not wasting it. You know, and when government's involved, there's going to be waste. There always is. And so what we need is maybe a citizen advisory panel that, you know, the legislature wants to increase taxes. Well, I want to know where every dime's going, every last cent, exactly, and why it's needed. You know, they got to make the sale on why they need that money. And they usually don't do that. And, okay, so that's that issue. Now, the other issue I wanted to mention is Eric Holder's comment about the fact that conservatives want the administration to, you know, to call Islamic terrorism what it is. And, you know, call a spade. They don't want to do that. Instead, Eric Holder says, you know, well, I'm not so worried about defining it. We want to figure out what to do about it. Well, if you can't define it, how are you going to do anything about it?
That's a great point, John. Thank you for the call. Roger in Caldwell with Kevin Miller. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, I've got a situation. Help me out with it if you would.
Sure.
About 9 or 10 years ago, my family fell upon really hard, serious times. So what I did is I went out and robbed 2 banks. Now, this is 9 or 10 years ago. I've been a hard worker ever since, and I'm even putting money in the bank to try to pay them back. So if I come forth out of the shadows, do you think I'll be forgiven for that?
Sure. Just step right here, sir. This is come here, Roger. We've got a little cell for you. It's not really a cell. It's a nice room with bars on it.
Well, but wait, I've been a hard worker ever since, and I only did it once, or twice, I guess. You understand where I'm going with this, don't you, Kevin?
Point well taken, sir.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Roger. Judy in Boise with Kevin Miller. Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. Whoops, sorry. Judy?
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Well, as far as calling you a sir when you're a ma'am, I'm doing okay. But...
Kevin, I forgive you.
Thank you.
We love you. Okay. I just wanted to counter, I think that other guy's name was Kevin, I'm not positive, that talked about all these immigrants that come in illegally. I'd like to just tell you about an immigrant that I know very well. He's my husband. And he first came to this country. He's an old man now, but he first came to this country in about 50 or 51 on a work visa, because he was training our diesel mechanics. And at the end of 6 months on that work visa, he had to leave. He didn't want to leave, but he had to leave. He went back to Germany, and in order to come back in on a, I guess they call it a green card, on a resident visa, he would have had to have, even at that time, $10,000 or $15,000 and a sponsor. Well, he didn't have that. So what he did was he went into the French Foreign Legion for 5.5 years, and he got the money. Then he came back into this country. He did not come in illegally. He met every bit of the law and what the Constitution states, and he is very resentful, Kevin, about all these illegals that have been coming in for about the last 20, 30 years, and that it goes completely against what the Constitution states. And somehow the politicians today look the other way, and they say, well, you know, shrug their shoulders, it's okay, because it's going to make a lot of votes for the Democrats. And people like my husband, who met every bit of the law, they are very resentful of this.
Judy, thank you for your story, and tell your husband hello. Thank you, ma'am.
Sure will. Bye now.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, men, men.
580 KIDO. It is Thursday. Don't we wish?
Barry, it's a nice, easy.
Wish it were all Friday. Dave Burnett with us. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here. Big news coming out of Gowan Field today. We've got a big presser with Mayor Beter, Governor Otter, and others.
Chamber of Commerce. Everybody's showing up, lawmakers. Everybody wants their picture in the paper.
Well, we'll see what the big announcement is today.
Well, you know, it's interesting speculation that is going on as far as what it could be. We've heard everything from the fact that they're going to move some of the operations of Gowan out to Mountain Home, to the Air Force Base, which would not be good news for the Boise area. I mean, there's quite a few jobs hanging on that out there at Gowan.
Sure.
You've got something else that was brought to my attention. There's been a couple of articles posted that the C-19 cargo planes, there's two divisions of the Air Force. One's McCord Air Force Base, and I think another one like in South Carolina, that they've talked about deactivating those for the Air Force and moving those to the Guard Reserve. Could it be that one of those is coming to Treasure Valley? See, and we used to have cargo planes here. We used to have C-130s here.
Sure.
Before they moved those out, 10 years ago or so? So the facility's still there for the larger cargo planes. I don't know. It just strikes me that it's interesting that, you know, that the mayor and the chamber, everybody wants to be out there. Is it just a show of force? I don't know. What's your thought?
Well, as we've been talking about for, you know, 2 or 3 months, my thought is that Gowan Field is in trouble. And I say that as someone who grew up in a military family, loves the military, supports the military. And the reason why I say that, and I'd rather be paranoid and expect the worst and get the best, just based on this new base realignment and closure commission, BRAC, if you will, BRAC 75. And you take a look at Gowan's mission, which is great, but there have been a lot of stealth layoffs there. There's been rumors that the Apache program could be leaving now, well, published reports, really. Now rumors saying that the Apaches will stay. You have the A-10s that have been a big target. Now, a lot of people say the A-10s are going away. No, they're not, because you have people like John McCain and Senator Hatch, big names in the Senate, now controlling the Senate. So the president's plan to get rid of the A-10s, I believe, is on hold. But they could move them, like you've said. I think that this is you have the mayor who, as you told me off the air, if it's good news, he's there. But all of a sudden, there's got to be something to the reports about Gowan, Dave. All of a sudden, he pens an editorial in The Statesman being pro-Gowan, and then he launches a website, GowanStrong.com. I don't think he does that if Gowan is not in the crosshairs.
I think it is. It's a C-17, by the way. I was corrected, not C-19, C-17s. If you were moving everything out, why would the chamber be there? Members of the Chamber of Commerce, why would they go to this?
Well, it's not to move it out. It's a show of force because you have the Secretary of the Air Force here.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, part of the deal with the Air Force, or when they think about closing down a base or downsizing it, is what's the community support? So the Secretary of Air Force will take a tour of the facility. She'll see, oh, the mayor's behind it, the governor's behind it, the congressional delegation is behind it. So that gives them pause, at least. Now, if you're a Senator Hatch or any of these other big names, you have even more gravitas. But if you have the folks that are directly impacted, and then you have the business community with the chamber, you're going to have Bill Connors saying, hey, Gowan creates all these jobs. We have Micron here and everything else. This is an integral part of our community. Now, if communities are smart, they'll be going across the entire country doing this when the Air Force comes to town. That's why it's here. I believe it's a pep rally. That's what I believe it is, to say, hey, we want to keep this facility and we'll do whatever we can to support it.
I will go on record as saying I think they're going to make an announcement. Something's going to be stationed here. I just have a gut feel.
Well, you're welcome to your opinion.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I stand by my sources, and I think the happy trade press here has ignored a crucial economic story that you know, something Mayor Beard and I agree on, how important Gowan Field is. I mean, it's easy to say, hey, look at these planes coming here when you're losing the A-10s, when you're losing the Apaches, when you have people that, you know, now are working in the private sector that were there 5-10 years.
Yeah.
And nobody has reported that except Kevin Miller in the morning.
I guess we will meet back tomorrow morning and compare notes.
Well, it's not even really about that. It's about, though, jobs. You know, like I said, I think Gowan has a great facility, and I don't mean to bash it, but if you're looking at it realistically, you have this Mountain Home Air Force Base that bigger bases than Mountain Home have been shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have one being played against the other.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with it. I find it fascinating, and we're sending Ray Amaya out to go cover the press conference, so we'll have information back this morning for you.
Fair enough.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Do you have anything?
Broncos win last night, minus two guys. They have two guys that are still serving a suspension for violating team rules, so they win again. But pretty much they have to win out to make it to the NCAA tournament now after losing to Fresno State over the weekend. So they kind of blew their opportunity there. But they win last night, so good news for the Bronco basketball team.
Yes, we're all about the Bronco basketball team.
Well, some of us care.
Yes, some of us care.
Some of us care. Anything else I'm talking about you don't want to hear about? Just wondering.
No, I just miss Greg Graham. Anyway, let's
Who?
Move. Exactly.
Never heard of him.
Touche. Let's move on to something else here. The president got done with his big conference yesterday. Here's what he had to say, and I posted this on the Kevin Miller Facebook, not to be confused with the Kevin Miller Show Facebook, but not a mention of the Christians who are killed daily by ISIS and others. And we'd like your thoughts coming up here at 580KIDO, but here's what the president had to say after his critical violence summit or whatever. Waiting.
2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Waiting.
Your computer's as fast as mine.
Waiting. Waiting.
Wow.
Nothing's wrong with this computer, though.
No, we've been told.
Yeah. Apparently, I guess that's not going to happen today. Sad.
Well, let it get fired up. It'll take a little bit. That's what it took mine. I logged onto the internet and it took...
I'm thinking of a little girl named Sabrina.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. It just kind of started, so here we go.
Who last month sent me a Valentine's Day card.
Aw.
In the shape of a heart.
In January?
It was the first Valentine I got. I got it from Sabrina before Malia and Sasha. And Michelle gave me one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's 11 years old. She's in the fifth grade. She's a young Muslim American. And she said in her Valentine, I enjoy being an American. And when she grows up, she wants to be an engineer or a basketball player. Which are good choices. But she wrote, I am worried about people hating Muslims. If some Muslims do bad things, that doesn't mean all of them do. And she asked, please tell everyone that we are good people and we're just like everyone else. Now, those are the words and the wisdom of a little girl growing up here in America, just like my daughters are growing up here in America.
There we have it. By the way, the camera shoots to a woman dressed up in kind of a burqa-esque, scarf-esque outfit. Now, the president didn't mention that the Christians were killed. By the way, he did talk about, let's see if I can find this here at 580KIDO. At the end of his conference, and everybody was waiting to hear what the president had to say, he did talk a little bit about not all Muslims are bad, Dave Burnett. So while I search for this other clip, your thoughts on the president and this little girl?
Well, I know I heard two pieces of tape on a program last night that talked about, you know, the president saying that, you know, we can't include the word Muslim on terrorism. It's just we don't want to put religious groups to terrorism. But yeah, one of his cabinet officials, just 2 hours after that, or 2 hours prior to that, talked about Christian terrorists, that there's a radical Christian group that's out. I thought you said you don't attach names. I thought your administration didn't attach names to terror.
Right, but getting back to the issue here from what the president said on this program at 580KIDO, what do you make of that, of the little Muslim girl?
Well, the president seems to have a knack of trying to use kids and their letters right here.
Now, is it Muslim or Muslim?
I suppose it's from wherever you're from. I don't know. I'm not nearly smart enough. I don't have a degree from a
Muslim
Ivy League
or
school.
Muslim. I just want to know the correct pronunciation.
I don't know. I went to a Pac-12 school. I don't know.
Well, we'll have more remarks concerning the president coming up.
Okay.
I would play it, but then you'd be late.
Oh, we don't want to do that. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of camp.
5:59 coming up next. The president ends his terror summit, and he doesn't say anything about radical Islam. How serious is the administration about keeping you, your family, safe? We'll discuss next. Keep it here.